Good morning, everyone. Thanks for everyone coming out this morning. I really appreciate it. I'd like to thank my mother and father-in-law and brother from California and my aunt and uncles back there. So it's good to see everyone this morning. I just want to start off by saying just a couple quick things that, you know, as Abe normally says when he starts off with something, if he says something wrong or something's misquoted or out of text, to please let him know. Because, you know, that is important for us to make sure that we're saying the right things when we're up here preaching. I was thinking the other day in class, I wrote this table on the board of a mathematical formula that all the students had to follow, and I wrote it up there completely wrong. Completely wrong. And one of the students didn't let me know till after class. And I was like, we just spent 3 hours looking at the wrong thing. You know, I would have been grateful for you to have said that when I first wrote it up there. He was afraid that he didn't want me to look stupid in front of the students. I said, that's not the point. The point that everybody would get to learn while we were teaching today was the point. So I just wanted to say that just because, you know, I'm up here. And if I say something wrong, I would like to know, and I would want to correct that. So with this morning, Roger gave his lesson over our weaknesses. You know, and it was great because we looked at basically comparing it to remodeling a car that was all rusted and broken down, refreshing it, renewing it, restoring it. So today we're actually going to be looking at finding strength in the Bible. And this is actually a topic that was asked for by Jenna. She came up with this topic this morning because she was asking about finding strength because she's getting ready to go through childbirth. So she's definitely thinking, you know, this is a good time to start finding strength in the Bible. So Jenna is actually the one that came up with this, and she actually helped me type up most of the slides. So I really thank her for that, but she kind of gave us the idea for this morning. So one of the things that we like to start off with is kind of defining the word that we're talking about. And we're going to kind of use this as our ongoing flow of the sermon this morning. So we have strength. Our strength is what we're going to be talking about. Roger was covering the weakness. So now we're going to talk about strength. So if you look up the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, this is how they define strength. And this follows so well with what we're going to be studying this morning that we're actually going to use it for each individual part. So with strength this morning, we can talk about it's the quality, a state of being physically strong, the ability to resist being moved or broken by force, and the quality that allows someone to deal with problems in a determined and effective way. So those are the parts of the definition for strength. And this is what we're going to kind of look at when we use this definition with the Bible this morning. So one of the things that I think about when we talk about this quality of being strong, you know, we have to do something in order to be strong. You know, we have to lift weights. That's why I have the picture of these weights up here. If we didn't lift weights, if we didn't actively try to seek out being physically strong, you know, that's not going to just come to us. We're not just going to have this strength that was just given to us. However, we do read of someone in the Bible that did have strength given to him. And I can't think of the definition of being physically strong without thinking about Samson. And another thing with this lesson today is we're actually going to be talking about several stories. And I've never really done this in the past where I'm actually going to kind of sum up some of the story because we're going to be talking about multiple chapters at a time. And we don't have enough time today to read multiple chapters. So I'm actually just going to be summing up some and just pulling out a couple passages. So with that said, we're going to look at Samson here. And I strongly encourage everybody to go back and read actually Judges 14 through 17 to get a better idea of Samson. But this story always amazes me because I don't remember how many times I've read the story of Samson. Every time I go back and read it, it's like, oh yeah, I forgot. I forgot that happened, or I forgot that he did that. So this is one of the things. I remember the story of the lion attacking him, but I thought we could just read through these verses this morning, especially when we're talking about physical strength. So it says, starting here in Judges 14, we're going to read verses 5 and 6. And it says, so Samson went down to Timnah with his family and mother to come to the vineyard of Timnah. The reason that they were going there is he had actually found a Philistine wife that he wanted to marry, so he was actually traveling there. So now to his surprise, a young lion came roaring against him. So, you know, as they're traveling, this lion came out against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mighty upon him, and he tore the lion apart as if it had been torn apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand. And he did not tell his mother and father that he had done this. So he was attacked by a lion, and he just kind of broke it in two. He just kind of it attacked him. You know, we think of that, but we also think of a lion. You know, a lion attacking you. I would have been scared to death if a lion had come roaring against him. You know, so this lion was coming at him to attack him. And of course, he just tore it in two like it was nothing to him. So when we talk about physical strength, I couldn't imagine. Some of these lions are huge. It does say a young lion, but I mean, I could only imagine that it could be any one of these cats we see here on the screen, that a young lion would still be a very strong creature. So also to kind of keep with just the story of Samson, there's a few other things that he did that just showed his physical strength. So Samson was so strong that he was able to kill 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey. And he didn't always follow what God wanted him to do, even though God gave him this physical strength. We know that Samson was actually a judge. He judged over the Jews at this time, during when the Philistines were in reign. That comes from chapter 15. And verse 20, it talks about him being a judge. So now we know that he was a judge, and we know that he was a just man, but he made a lot of bad decisions. You know, we can talk about the story of Delilah, and so along with that, actually, it talks about him being a judge, but right in Judges 16, it goes into some of the bad things that he did right away. So we can kind of see these things, but yet he was able to kill 1,000 men with this jawbone of a donkey. So you can imagine how strong he was. And that's coming from Judges 15, 14 through 17, that story. But I didn't know if anybody has really seen what the jawbone of a donkey looks like. So I pulled down this picture so we can get this idea of how his physical strength would have been. So here's this jawbone. This is the jawbone of a donkey, and it took me a while to find this picture because sometimes it's hard to find a picture to figure out whether it's the jawbone of a donkey or a horse or a mule. Who a mule is, a donkey and a horse has a mule, but a mule cannot have any other kids. Yeah, it's complicated. But so this is a jawbone of a donkey, and it may not look like much, but when you put it in somebody's hands, that's a serious weapon. That could be a pretty serious weapon. I had never really thought about this too much. Like I said, I encourage everybody to kind of go back over and read this story, because these 1,000 men didn't attack him one at a time. They all attacked him at once. So we had 1,000 men attack Samson basically at once, and he was able to kill them all with this jawbone of a donkey. So it's kind of a crazy story in itself to think about that jawbone lasted through 1,000 people, that this jawbone was there. But anyway, that's kind of what I think of with physical strength, you know, that he was able to do that. Another person that we think of with strength, not only strength from God, but maybe even just physical strength, this story kind of gives both parts, because we talk about Goliath and his size and his might. You know, it talks about that even Goliath was a soldier, you know, and he had spent many times in war, so he was very skilled, very trained, Goliath was. But we know David wasn't. So here we kind of have down that Goliath was physically strong, but God allowed David, the weakest, not even a soldier, to be able to defeat him because God was with him. God had given him strength to those who asked for it. And that's in 1 Samuel 17. We have this whole story of David and Goliath. But we're going to talk about this just a little bit more, because I like to point out what was said between David and Goliath, especially when he stepped out on the field to battle him. So we have the Philistine, right, which is Goliath. At this point, he's making a comment to David. Because, you know, we know the story of David when he was just a shepherd boy, and he went and he saw them fighting and was wondering why nobody was going against this giant, you know, and they're like, this is a giant, you know, we're not going to go out against him. And I always try to put this picture in my mind that both of the armies were there. I mean, so this is quite a scene going on. And like I said, I really recommend going back and reading through this. I'm kind of like Roger. When I start putting things together, you start building and building and building more for your lesson. I probably spent way more time going back and reading through all of these chapters than I did putting this together. But I really enjoyed going back and reading these stories. But all of those armies were there, both sides. The Israelites and the Philistines were both there. And, you know, Goliath was basically standing in front of them. And he's basically, David has said that he'll go out and fight them. Even Solomon gave him all of his swords and shields to put on to go out there to fight them. I'm sorry, it was Saul. It just triggered that I said Solomon, but it was Saul. He gave him all of his swords and shields and armor to wear, and he couldn't even hardly carry them, all that armor. So he took it all off. He took it all off and went up and picked up five stones. And we see here that he walks out to meet Goliath. And so Goliath looks at him and says, and so this is what Goliath said to David. Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? I would imagine that David almost looked like a stick compared to him. And the Philistine cursed David by his God. And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the fields. So, we have this comparison here between these two people. So, we have David, his estimated height based on the people in that area and the bones that were discovered would have guessed to him to be about 5'2". Would have been an average height, maybe, of that time frame. Then we have Goliath being 9'6", right? So, we have them coming out to each other in this field, about they're getting ready to fight. So, you have this young man who's maybe 5'2", and we have Goliath at 9'6". So you can just imagine the comparison between the two. So, but what does David say? We think of David's strength. So he come out, I just wanted to give an example. We have the dimensions of what Goliath would have been, his size and everything. This would have been about the size of his sword he would have carried. Estimate. This is a reproduction about the size of Goliath's sword. And we also know that David actually carried Goliath's sword because it was after everything happened. He had no other armor but from what he took from Goliath. But you can just imagine. So you can imagine the size of the person that would carry something like that as his sword. So imagine somebody having a sword, a spear, a shield, and David's just coming at him with a slingshot, just standing there in the midst of all of these armies. So you have these huge armies that are lined up against each other. So in 1 Samuel 17:45, this is what David then says to Goliath. You come to me with a sword, with a spear, with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts and the God of armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. And he killed him, right? With one stone. With one stone, he was able to kill Goliath. Now, I remember we did a study on warfare. I led in a Sunday morning class. We actually looked at the trajectory rate of a stone from a slingshot that, you know, would have been able to kill Goliath. And we actually saw the speed that somebody can throw a slingshot would almost be the same as out of a .22 rifle to be able to throw a rock at that speed. You could just imagine that it could take down somebody. So if it hit him exactly where it was, right in the middle of the forehead, it would have cracked the skull and took him down. So this small man had enough belief in God. He had enough strength in God that he was able to stand up against this giant. And also, another interesting story is if you really start reading through this, you see that David picked up five stones, but he knew that Goliath had four other brothers. And that gets into a whole nother study. So it's not that he didn't believe that he couldn't kill him with just one stone. He knew that those other brothers would probably come after him, so he needed one for each. I always think that that's another interesting story dealing with faith and strength. So we see this, we're back kind of our definition of strength. So we have the ability to resist being moved or broken by force. So we could just imagine ourselves as being that rock. You know, we even have songs that we sing that we talk about being the rock. You know, so we want to be that where we can stand firm. And we have that strength to stand firm. So we want to be able to have that ability to not be broken, to not be moved. So we need this ability to withstand force. was a quality found by Noah. We're going to talk about Noah here in a minute. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I always like using them as an example when we talk about strength. And also Daniel. The ability to withstand pressure and also courage is what they all faced. And they all faced it in more than just this single story we talk about. But we're going to kind of talk about each of these stories. So I want to start by talking about Noah when we talk about strength. Because I feel that he was kind of alone in the world. And I'll kind of read these verses. So we're going back to Genesis 6. And we're actually going to just read a few verses that I've picked out through a couple of these chapters. But for the most part, we're going to be staying in Genesis 6 here for a couple of the verses. So starting here in verse 7, it says, "So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." So we have this to where we may think that, you know, the world is against us, but we have this story here that the world was literally completely against Noah. Completely. Just everybody in it. God was so outraged by everything, he was going to destroy everything. But yet, he did have this one man that did have faith and strength in God, and that was Noah. So also, continuing that within Genesis 6, we'll read 9 through 12 here. And it says, this is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation. I think of that sometimes as I wish that, you know, I was at that ability that somebody could say that about me. That is quite a stance to make. And it says that Noah walked with God. You know, that's another statement that you don't see really anywhere else, that Noah walked with God. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. So he instructs Noah to build an ark. We basically have the rest of Genesis 6 here that he is given in specific instructions to build this ark. Now, I've also been told that shipbuilders today also use the same math that's in the story of Noah and the ark here to actually build ships. It's the same mathematical formula that you can use against any boat or ship maker for what God gave Noah to build the dimensions of the ark. So we could talk about buoyancy and everything like that. But I also think if Noah hadn't have done it exactly the way that God told him to, it wouldn't have floated. You know, it would have just sank. So I think of that too whenever we think about strength and trust, because it would have took a long time to build this boat out in the middle of nowhere. You know, so you can just imagine somebody building a massive boat out of the middle of nowhere where there's no water. I'm pretty sure he was ridiculed a lot. Of course, we know that he would have already had a hard time, you know, if he was with God and everybody was against God. You know, it would have made a pretty bad environment for him to live in. So we can kind of look at these verses here. And it says, "And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth." So we see that he's given instructions to build the ark in Genesis 14 through 22. Then starting in Genesis 7, it says, "Noah and his family entered the ark, and the flood waters came, and everything on the earth was destroyed." So we see this destruction of this earth, but yet Noah was saved. You know, I think that Noah and his family were saved because of his strength and faith in God. So Noah and his entire family was saved due to his strength in God. So whenever I think about strength and not being able to be moved, I really think of Noah, because he would have spent all that time building that ark and preparing and making sure that his family was with him, that him and his entire family was saved. Another story that I like to use, especially when dealing with strength, is Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. And I don't know if I'm enunciating that right, because I found out last night that I didn't realize that Abednego was actually hyphenated. I've always said Abednego. It's Abednego. I'm not sure if I'm enunciating that right. But anyway, we see this story, and we see how bad Nebuchadnezzar was. Nebuchadnezzar was pretty evil in this time, and you know, even Nebuchadnezzar was. It seems like he was approached several times, you know, by all these different stories, you think he would have slowly given in, but you know, he had a lot of things that happened to him in his time frame. He never really gave in to God. But we see in this story here in Daniel 3, we'll read verses 1 through 7 here. And it says, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of God. So this is just me kind of abbreviating these verses here. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold and commanded everyone that when they hear the sound, that everyone was to fall down and worship this golden image that he set up. So it was a special sound that was being played by like harps and flutes, and there's a bunch of things going on. They were commanded to bow down at this time. It says, whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a fiery furnace. So, I don't know if you guys have ever stood close to a fiery furnace or to a fire that gets really, really hot. I couldn't even imagine being thrown into that. I think of some of the worst pain is when you get burnt or something like that. I couldn't imagine being fully thrown into this furnace. I have this picture of this blast furnace here because I was just trying to get a picture of like the hottest possible thing I could find. And you can see that this guy's got a special suit on just even to get close enough to this. And this is just a blast furnace and like a steel mill that I found. Because I was thinking, along with this story, we can kind of see what happens to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? Because they're not going to give in to this decree that Nebuchadnezzar set up. So here in Daniel 3, starting in verse 16, it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. You know, they weren't even going to basically entertain him on him trying to get everybody to bow down. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image which you have set up. So, as we know, that, you know, when the sound was played, that Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego didn't bow down to this image. And when I think about strength, I think the ability to strength to stand tall. And I had mentioned this earlier in a couple of the other times that I've preached, that if you have a whole bunch of people that all of a sudden starts bowing down to this golden image, you can really tell who's not bowing down because they're going to be the only people standing. They're going to be the only ones standing up. Everybody else is going to be down. So it's really easy to see who's standing against it. And I just thought of that image while Nebuchadnezzar is standing there and he's, you know, making everybody bow down, and there's these three people that aren't. That's very clear that these three people are standing very firm. And there's just some things that I wanted to point out. Like I mentioned, when I go back and read over these, it's always interesting to point out some of these interesting topics. And I kind of have some of them underlined. As we see that the king, he actually got really mad when, you know, they didn't bow down. So he actually commanded the furnace be heated 7 times more than what it usually was heated. So he started even increasing the heat of this furnace because he was already mad. So then when they started to take Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego to the furnace, that even the men who took them to the furnace were burnt up. So even when they just got close enough to try to throw Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego in, the fire consumed those men. But yet, we know with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that they weren't touched. They weren't touched. Because Nebuchadnezzar said, look, he answered, for I see 4 men walking around the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And from them, the 4th is like the Son of God. So Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants, who trusted in him, and that they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own. So I think of that, of just standing up against this, that how much strength they would have had just to stand up against all this that was going on. But yet we see that God protected them when they stood up. So the last part of what we had in our definition was the equality that lets that allows someone to deal with problems to determine an effective way. So, Jenna put this slide together for me, and I thank her very much. And I kept trying to think of these pictures that she put up there, because these were pictures I think that, you know, she was trying to find. Because how can you really display or come up with a picture like this? I'm still not exactly sure why she has a picture of the guy with the sledgehammer smashing the computer. I'm not sure. I don't know if that's something directed towards me. I'm not sure. So we definitely see this road sign here that we have challenges ahead. The puzzle piece one kind of confused me for a little bit, but she explained it as, you know, if you're trying to deal with something, you could have missing pieces and how frustrating it would be to try to find those missing pieces. You know, that you have to have faith that those pieces will be filled in, that you'll be able to find those. So I thought that was really good with that puzzle piece. And of course, we see this person over here that seems to be frustrated, that they're having all these people that are yelling at them, that you're just trying to deal with things effectively and deal with all of these problems that seem to be coming at them. So we have this quality that allows someone to deal with problems and determine in a determined and effective way. We talk about handling difficult situations, like we kind of saw in that picture. But some of those difficult situations have to deal with birth or childbearing. So there's a lot of stories in the Bible, even way more than what I remembered, about women praying to have children. It's actually, I actually found quite a few passages and stories that I had forgotten about where women had prayed. And one of the ones that kind of hit me was Hannah. Hannah was one of the stories that where she prayed so fervently, even Eli thought that she was drunk. And he actually approached her and said, you know, what's the problem? But she had prayed so fervently that they thought that they had problems because she was just mouthing words and speaking to herself, and they would wonder what was going on with her. But she had actually went to the temple to pray, that she prayed so fervently that she even made a vow and dedicated him to God to serve in the temple. Of course, we know who that son is. So that son was Samuel, and we know how influential he was to all of the Israelites. So he was a very, very major character of the Bible. And we can see how God was able to give Hannah this son, but you know, she had to work for it, that she had to pray for it, to go to God for it. So being brave enough to speak out, but having the wisdom to do it in a way that is kind, is also the other part where we talk about wisdom and strength, to be able to handle things this way. So I just have a couple verses here, just about strength, that will kind of close us up. I just have a couple verses and just a few things for us to think about. So when we talk about finding strength in the Bible, think of Psalms 46 and 1. And this is actually the verse that I had on the very first slide. But I just wanted us to think about this as we're looking through some of these verses. It says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very persistent help in trouble. You know, this is very short, you know, just a few words here, but there is a lot said. That God is our refuge and strength. That we look to Him for strength. That God is our refuge. And very persistent help in trouble. That it's not something that we will just lose. It's not something that God will just turn His back on us. That He will actually stay with us. That He's persistent with us. Also, finding strength, we see in Isaiah 40, 31. This says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like angels. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Talking about the ones being with God. Talking about praying to God. The ones who are with Him. Also, we have Proverbs here. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, trust in the Lord with your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. About having strength in Him. Also, 2 Timothy 1 and 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. So we know that God has given this spirit of not fear. So this is something, I guess, for Jenna to think about, that we don't have this spirit of fear, but of power and love and sound mind, that we have these things that God has given to us. So one of the points that I wanted to make in closing is that strength is not gained, or it's not given, it's to be gained. Right? So we have to do something for it. We have to follow God's word. We have to pray. We have to do something for it. It's just like when I started this lesson and I showed a pair of dumbbells. So we have to exercise to gain physical strength. We have to look at God's word and pray and read to gain strength from Him. So I'd like to read from Mark 12 and 30. And it says, "And you shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all of your strength. This is the first commandment." You know, think of those words that are given to us, that is the first commandment. That we are to pray, that we should love the Lord with everything we have, with all of our strength. And the last verse that I would like to read, and I'd actually like to close with this verse, is in Philippians 4:13. It says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." You know, when we really think of that, that we are strengthened through Christ, that we can do everything through Him that strengthens us, that's where we get our strength from, is through Him. So at this time, I'd like to stand and sing the song that's been selected.